The following podcast may contain inappropriate language, sexual content, and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Gonzo.moe No Name Anime Show. If it feels like we're back in less time than usual, you're probably hallucinating because this is coming out on Wednesday. But for me and Kyle, it's been, what, 3 days?
Not very much time at all. It feels... I'm happy because I didn't get to talk about the thing I wanted to last time. But you messaged me the other day and I literally said like, oh man, like I thought we weren't recording for a week.
Yeah. Cause we did the show on the 4th of July. Cause I had the day off for the holiday and, I got Friday off by surprise. So I figured why not? Let's try to get this done, sooner than the last minute, which is what we usually do. But this is the Gonzo.moe No Name Anime Show. We are a discussion-type podcast. We talk about news, we do reviews, we do Twitter questions, we do pretty much whatever we want, and we keep the show to an hour because we respect your time, and I guess also we respect our own time. I don't want to do a three-hour podcast.
Off, but he's still working.
I mean, I'm going to be playing guitar and looking at guitar parts because I'm building a guitar. That has nothing to do with cartoons, probably. I guess I could play an anime song on it. But, so you can find more episodes on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. You could follow us on Twitter. You could leave a voicemail at 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. I almost said that wrong. Great news starting out before we talk about two really miserable pieces of news. I finally started reading the Yashahime manga. So rejoice the world.
So did they get a separate author or did they get the original mangaka to do the adaptation of their own kind of thing?
Takahashi is like tangentially involved insofar as she did the original character designs.
Okay.
But I don't think she had anything to do with the story in the manga or the anime. I mean, maybe she gave ideas, but my understanding is that this was a very hands-off thing. She probably got like a licensing fee or something.
I gotta say, she accepts checks. That's probably the extent of her involvement with this manga. Got it.
Oh, yeah. She hasn't done anything with Inuyasha in probably a decade or whenever that OVA came out.
I mean, considering how long these people work on these projects, I'm sure when they're done, they're like, done.
Yeah. This was written and, what do you call it, drawn. Good Lord. Takashi Shina, who is best known as the creator of Zettai Karen Children, which is not something that I have a ton of familiarity with, but that was a long-running series. I don't know if the manga came out outside of Japan, but I know that the anime... And I believe the anime spinoff came out in America, at least courtesy of Sentai and potentially ADV, depending on how long ago it was. I don't know, you know, off the top of my head. But I'm pretty happy with it so far. I know Yashahime is a train wreck, and that is why I love it so much. But one chapter in, and I'm already enjoying the intro more than the anime version.
Does it make more sense, or is it crazier?
Well, it seems to be a bit more streamlined and condensed, because the first episode... Well, the first episode of the anime was just, like, an Inuyasha, like, reunion. They just animated, like, a bonus chapter that Takahashi wrote several years after. And so you don't even see the Yashahime characters until episode 2. At which point they start to do the story that's done in chapter 1 of the manga. I believe it was about 50 pages, and I want to say it was 2 or 3 episodes in the anime.
Wow.
It's more or less the same story, they just cut the fat. So you have Toa, who is in present-day Japan. She's living with Kagome's brother and his wife, as well as their child. And she's like, I don't know. I know that I'm not supposed to be here, but I don't totally understand why. And then they get attacked by the, I don't know, like grandkid of Mr. Centipede, who was the big enemy in episode one of Inuyasha.
Okay.
I believe episode one and two of Inuyasha. So they get attacked by a very similar looking demon, which is a callback, obviously. And then Setsuna and Moraha, so Toa's sister, as well as Inuyasha and Kagome's daughter, come to help out. And it was a lot more exposition-y in the anime. In this, Moraha's like, oh, that's your sister over there. And Setsuna's like, I guess. Whereas that was not as... I don't remember it being as clear in the anime. I think Toa was the one to initiate. She's like, oh shit, you're my long-lost sister. And I think this makes more sense. Because it implies that they've been searching for her. I don't know if that's, you know, the direction it's going to go. But it felt like a much cleaner way to tell the story. And then they skip over all of the bullshit of like, oh, we're in the present world. This is so wacky. And they just jump, like, time cut back to where they're in the past.
That sounds like, I mean, you know, I've seen enough anime, like, you know, Dragon Ball Kai versus original to know that that's the stuff that gets cut for sure.
I wonder, too, if this is going to be a shorter run. Like, I don't expect this to be 46 volumes. You know, maybe 5, 10 at the most. You know, it could end up being a 2-volume thing. I don't know.
All I know is I can't wait to see Yashahime Sisterhood.
Yeah, right. I'm enjoying it so far. The character designs took a little while to get used to because they're not the ones... You know, they're very close, but it's clear that they're having their own spin put on it because it is a different artist. But yeah. I'm having a good time so far, but I am only a chapter in. I want it to get crazy. I hope it gets crazy. The writer from the series is involved. They're
so it's going to get crazy. It's just a matter of how long.
They're supervising the script, so I expect this to hit the same main story beats, but I expect it to happen in a much cleaner and concise way. So I'm having a good time. I cannot in good faith recommend people buy the Yashahime manga unless you enjoyed the show. But I like it so far. And there's something that the TV show did that I'm hoping they do in the manga that they kind of like faked in the TV show. The first episode or two, the second episode or so, because we don't meet Toa until episode two. They kind of hint that they're going to do some like gender exploration, and then they never do it. The end of the second episode, Toa's like, you know, it really sucks that girls have to do this and guys have to do that. Why can't, you know, we just be ourselves? And you think like, oh, they're going to like actually talk about like gender roles and stuff. And that's, you know, something that they never did in Inuyasha. And it's interesting because Takahashi does play with that in some of her other works. And then it's never revisited. And they kind of do the same hint in the manga. I hope they actually do something about it instead of just like, all right, well, I know you said that, but now just be a girl for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's Yashahime so far. I know that's not the goofy update that people are used to. But that's what I got for you. Along with that, I've been meaning to do this for a while. I got a cover so I can protect my manga when I put it in my backpack for work.
And yes, I saw the Bible cover.
Yeah, they don't really sell book covers, at least not that I could find. So I had to look up Bible covers, which makes me wonder if there's a market there that needs to be tapped into to make like anime and manga covers.
Tap that Bible.
But a lot of work to be done in that. I don't know if I want to cut leather. But it's working out really well. I used it yesterday. My manga is in just as good of a shape when I left. So it seems to be working.
I just imagine you now, like almost Beavis or Butthead style of at work. Like, I'm reading this manga.
Well, because the joke that I posted on Twitter, because like you can't tell what you're reading if you read it in the cover. I haven't been doing that, but that's an option I have. I did that meme of the kid at the party, and it's like, they don't know that I'm reading Dick Fight Island.
Yeah.
But definitely, I would recommend that. I think it was like $10 on Amazon. So if you bring manga to work a lot and you're worried about it getting damaged in your bag, definitely check out getting a cover for your manga. But let's move on to some miserable news. This last week, and we'll probably talk about this on the newsroom, obviously this comes out a few days after, but this week we lost two very big names in different fields in Japan.
They were both morally opposed to one another.
Yeah, they probably were.
No, like literally, the one guy like was an outspoken critic of the second. So
fair enough. So the first one we lost, Kazuki Takahashi, the creator of Yu-Gi-Oh, was found dead, I think, like in the ocean on it Wednesday?
I believe it was speculation, Wednesday. But I haven't heard, like, I don't think they've released as of right now an official cause of death.
Yeah, people are saying that there was a snorkeling, like that he was snorkeling and there was an accident. I've seen some people say he was found with shark bites on him, which is insane.
If he was, this is completely unsubstantiated, so who knows?
I do feel like if you were bitten by a shark and that's what killed you, it'd be really fucking obvious. Because sharks, they're terrifying and they have so many teeth.
They do have a lot of teeth. But to be fair, shark attacks are very rare. And I don't know if you've seen how many sharks die a year from people. It's literally in the billions with a B.
Jesus.
And like less than 10 people a year are killed by sharks. So when it happens, I'm not saying it's good, but...
it's pretty rare.
Yeah, like you're more likely to be like hit, killed by a tree, I think, statistically.
Oh my God. Well, I did find some irony in it because my favorite Yu-Gi-Oh! Monster is like a shark made of sharks. I don't know what his name is, but it's from like the first episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal. And it's terrifying. It's just like a humanoid shark with like sharks for arms and sharks in their shoulders. It's horrifying. But really, really sad news. I have not kept up with Yu-Gi-Oh! Over the years, but I've always had a fondness for the series. I liked what I saw. It just, you know, it's one of those shows where there's a million episodes, and unless it's your favorite thing, you're not going to watch all of them.
But, you know, his career had went through kind of a crazy turn, though, because, of course, famously, it went through multiple adaptations, right? Before they landed, at least there was the one famous one before it turned into the Yu-Gi-Oh! That we know. Like, back then, it was much more of, like closer to something like Kaiba.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the original manga was, like, a different game in every chapter. But it was the same concept of, like, fighting and the Shadow Realm.
But instead of it being, like, one bespoke game that's a card game, it was more just, like, cruel, twisted. Like, it was closer to, like, to Saw, really.
Yeah.
Than it is closer to the Yu-Gi-Oh! That we would recognize. And I believe that he's, like... Because he's like a weird mangaka too, right? I think that he was really a board game guy. Like he really loved like games, not video games, but like games. And that's like his inroad to manga. And that's why apparently a lot of his manga surround or are about.
There was like an arc or maybe even a series about a board game. I want to say it was like Yu-Gi-Oh! Capsule Monsters or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been meaning to for a long time to go back and read the manga from start to finish. I was reading it in Shonen Jump when monthly Shonen Jump was a thing in America, and I don't believe they did the whole run in there because that's just, they would do that.
Like, yeah.
Here's a tease. Now go buy it.
Thoughtful.
I'm on his Wikipedia to try to see if I can find like a list of other work. Because really, I only know Yu-Gi-Oh! I guess you could live off of that. Yeah,
yeah,
pretty much just Yu-Gi-Oh! Is what's listed on Anime News Network, which, why not?
But it took also a long time for it to become popular. Like, it wasn't, you know, he wasn't one of those mangaka that, like, succeeds right away. Like, it took him a while. But once he did make it big, obviously, he continued.
Yeah.
I just really, I literally love, I think that a lot of times we think of Japan as, like, video games, anime. But, like, you know, they have tons of varied interests and stuff. And so I always like it when someone who has like interests outside of the medium makes it into the medium,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, anime or video games or any like, or film or anything. I like it when we get these cross pollinations because they do result in, you know, not like necessarily the most outsider art, but I do like, you know, like, I think you need to have like, you know, I think we need more than just anime people making anime or manga people manga, right? You need to have that kind of like experience and just like breadth of life.
So it looks like Yu-Gi-Oh! The manga started in 96. And I don't know exactly when Duel Monsters happened in the manga, but the Duel Monsters anime, oh goodness, I just had it in front of me, 2000.
Yeah. So a good 4 years.
Yeah. And I believe there was a show for the original arcs as well. They just skipped it in America.
Yeah, I've you can find rips of the original show, and it is awesome.
I think it did. I think it did come out later because Yu-Gi-Oh is now handled by a totally different company. It's not 4Kids anymore. There's like a $500 box set of like everything that I see at cons, and I just don't have it in me. Anyway, the other pretty big deal. I don't have as much to say about this one because I just don't pay attention to politics in other countries maybe as much as I should, but Shinzo Abe was assassinated like on my way home from work. That's insane.
Literally is wild. I couldn't like what last night people actually started messaging me and I was doing something else. They're just like, did you see about Abe? And I'm like, oh, what about Abe? Like, cause he isn't the prime minister right now. So I was just like, oh, like what could the news be about him? Maybe he did something awful. They're like, nah. He was just shot by a person, and I just went, excuse me?
Yeah.
In Japan, the most, like, one of the strictest gun law countries.
Yeah, I don't know if this statistic is true because I just saw it in a Twitter post, but somebody said that there's, like, maybe 10 gun deaths a year in Japan. So they're exceedingly rare.
Yeah, like, it's, like, one of the, you know, again, like, it's so strongly, like, it... And just like this level of, when was the last time we saw a level of this political assassination?
I mean, we did it a few years ago.
Yeah. I'm talking about government though. This is like,
well, didn't we kill like the vice president of another country? Or am I here's out the thing, of my
that's
mind.
Like a government doing it though. I'm talking about a regular ass person. This is like some 60s and 70s shit.
Yeah. I do not have the historical knowledge to be able to answer that question.
Right, like, when did that person try to assassinate Reagan? That must have been in the 80s sometime,
yeah,
right?
Probably 70s or 80s. I don't know. But
he was president. He was president in the 80s, right?
You're grossly overestimating my knowledge of the political history of America.
You know, like, this is just crazy to see in 2022. This was not on my 2022 bingo card.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. I don't know what to say about it just because I'm not informed on Japanese politics at all.
Yeah, but I'm sure we'll go a little bit more in detail with Vinny on Sunday.
Yeah, we just couldn't not mention it. Like, it's such a big piece of news that we could not bring it up.
Yeah, Abe was great, like, in a lot of ways, really right wing, did some really, you know, like, he's one of those war apologists. So, like, not a great person, although he did do a lot for Japan. A lot of people would say in the wrong direction.
Was he the guy that hated anime, or was he the one that liked anime?
I can't remember.
Because he's kind of a bad person
outside of anime.
Was it Takahashi hated Abe?
He literally came out very publicly about a lot of Abe policies.
That's fair.
So... But crazy to see him assassinated.
Yeah.
Especially like that. Like, if you watch videos, because they're online, of people actually caught this, the guy like walks up slowly, gets off a shot, and the crowd just doesn't even know what the fuck is happening. Like, they literally see the guy with the gun, and he has to fire a second time before people react. And it's not like fire, fire. It's like fire, big boom. And everyone in the crowd's just like, huh? Noise?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't see a lot of gun violence in your country and someone shoots a gun, you might not even know what that is.
But that's what's so crazy about it, right? Is because if you watch the videos from the 4th of July shootings, and that, it's like a shot goes off, people immediately begin to like, they're like, that's a gunshot. They freak the fuck out. Like, in Japan, like, it's happening. They're seeing it. The noise is going and everyone's like, huh?
Yeah,
that's how little gun violence happens there.
I also get that, because when you're, you know, confronted with something shocking, your body does tend to freeze sometimes. I was getting ready to leave work one day. It's like midnight 30 in Manhattan, and this guy comes up to me, very obviously like stumbling drunk, can barely talk. And he asked me, like, where's First Avenue? I'm not very directionally aware, but we happen to be standing right under the First Avenue sign. So I said, you're actually kind of on it. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, no, dude, look, if you turn around, there's the sign. You're like 10 feet away from the corner. You just need to turn around the corner. He's like, no, man, you're lying to me. Like, I don't know what to tell you. And then he tells me, I have a gun. And I just was like, I just froze. I'm like, I don't know what to say. Like, nothing happened. Obviously, I'm here. But he ended up just leaving.
Plot twist.
He might have been fucking with me. He could have just been super drunk and talking shit. I'll never know, fortunately. But he ended up getting like scared by, because, you know, it's a giant film crew and we're all trying to get out of there. So I think the commotion frightened him. So he left. But like,
good.
My mind went completely blank. So I totally get like hearing a gunshot and not knowing what to do.
I just feel so, you know, that it's a horrible thing.
Oh, it's awful.
Like, you know, I don't like Abe at all. Never made a secret about that. But I also don't know. I didn't want him assassinated.
Not a fan
and I
of
feel
murder.
Like this is going to, I'm really worried now about what the repercussions of this are going to be.
Yeah.
Of just like, because Japan is a very, like, a lot there in terms of their government, they're already really right leaning. And this is probably going to create a lot of sympathy for that. And just like, and of course, just like the guy, it looks like people are speculating it's a homemade weapon.
That's what I saw.
Like, if he 3D printed this, I Japan's so weird about a lot of stuff already. I'm just like, oh, like nothing good is going to come out of this.
That's so. Not to continue on this point, but that's something that I heard about recently is that at least in New York, the biggest problem isn't people getting actual guns. It's people building guns. They call them ghost guns. The only other thing I wanted to mention, and this is just a quick thing. I've seen a lot of people guilting and shaming people that went to Anime Expo, and it's really been bothering me because it's like, we all went to Otakon. We do not have any right to talk shit like, oh, how could you go to this anime convention? You're not being safe and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we're all talking about how excited we are to go back to Otakon. The hypocrisy is bothering me. And like, people are testing and, you know, trying to find out if they got COVID. And they're like, well, you got to wait this long to do the test and you have to take 2 weeks off. And like, good luck getting one day off from your job. Like, what are you doing? Like, look, we're all being irresponsible. We're all doing our best. The government gave up on us. Like, we got to stop fighting each other. We got to start yelling at, you know, be mad at Anime Expo for holding the event. Like, you cannot conceivably expect that many people to be on the same page and be like, no, we're not going to do this. Most people just hear like, hey, you know, COVID, like they hear the government say that COVID's over and they're like, all right, cool, bet I'm going to go. You know, like we're not all terminally online. And just, I don't know. It was bothering me. I do think that people need to be safe and get vaccinated and wear their masks. But like, the realistic thing is that only a very small portion of us are online and reading about all of these things. Most people just do what the commercials tell them to do. And it's, you know, it's not great.
Yeah.
Anyway, that rant is over. Last episode, you wanted to talk about Sunny Boy, but me and Noel wouldn't shut up. So now you get to talk about Sunny Boy.
Yes. So I was kind of intrigued by the artwork originally because it has the picture I saw almost had one of those like flat Westerner, with the what's that called when, you know, like on newsprint they have like the bubbles that make colors.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what it's called.
But yeah, anyways, it has that kind of, it had that look on the poster, and I originally looked at the artwork for the anime and unknowingly, like, whatever I had first seen must have been a very stylized look at it. Because I looked at it and I'm like, oh, it looks nothing like that. And so I just, for no reason, assumed that I must have been looking at the manga first. And then this was the anime adaptation. And I was like, huh, different art style. And I just like turned my nose up at it. But, I was looking for something to watch that was a little bit more recent. And I went like, oh, okay, let's look at it. And I found out, and here's where I hang my head in shame. It's an original animation. It's only an anime, JP. So, you know, I went, oh, well, whoops. And then I got intrigued because, of course, especially right now, it's so rare for us to get something that's from like an actual director who's kind of given more or less carte blanche to do whatever they want. And, you know, like there's so many adaptations and so much of it, if it isn't an adaptation, it'll be something that's so formulaic, like your eyes glaze over before you finish reading like a sentence about it. I say this having to read so many sentences about so many isekais, which like sounds so similar to one another. So I went, all right, let's watch Sunny Boy, you know, but I wasn't expecting a lot, but I was still like, all right, you know, I've heard good things, even though I haven't heard anyone in our circles really talk about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, and I don't know a lot of people that have seen it.
So anyways, I watched episodes 1 through 6, and I have to tell you, if this stays on the same trajectory, this is one of the best shows I've seen in years. Like, straight up, JP.
That's bold.
I think this is, like, right now, if it does not fuck up this ending, we're talking, like, up there with Flowers of Evil Good.
All right.
Which, for me, is the highest praise I could heap upon it. I mean, from the get, so one, really unique art style. I'm really, really fond of it. They try to minimize all gradients in the, like, in a lot of the character designs. And then like half of the time in the background. So you'll get pure shade for the sky. They'll do a pure shade of blue. And it's like a deep kind of like a cerulean blue, right? And the characters likewise, like they'll have, you know, they'll just have like a white shirt and there's no texture on it. It's just white. And it really leads to this distinct look because here's the thing though, like they will also mix it up. I read interviews where they were talking about like, we don't use gradients in the backgrounds, but that's obviously a lie because sometimes the backgrounds will be very, they'll be drawn and they'll definitely have gradients, but it's more of like dabs of color on top of other color. You get like, it doesn't necessarily meld. There's much more of a like, oh, like you'll see like a darker shade of blue on top of this. It's a very painterly look. And it's really unusual to see this in animation in general. Just like every time I look at it, I'm like, this is a really wild looking animation. And so just from that sense, I think that even, you know, like even if you don't enjoy the story, I think people should at least check out like an episode or two because it looks really unique. But also I think what else really makes it stand out. You know how in anime, a lot of times, like it's like, I feel like anime and like a lot of it anyways, is really just like, TV for dummies. I mean this in a particular way, you know, like how many anime have you watched, JP, where the characters say exactly what they're thinking?
Oh yeah,
all the time. And then you not only get to tell, like you not only get them telling you every what they're thinking every single like time, but then you also will get like voiceovers of them explaining all of their interior thoughts.
Yeah, I was reading a Facebook thread about this recently about Hallmark movies. They're like, in a Hallmark movie, you could tell somebody to their face that you're going to write them a $5,000 check. You're going to write the check, and then there's going to be an insert of you writing the check, just so there's no ambiguity.
Yeah, but like that's what a lot of animation is from Japan recently. Like, there's a lot of just like you know, someone might have a secret, but then they'll reveal it in voiceover, and it's just like there's not a lot of faith in the audience, and it's not very filmic, which to me is very sad because I love, you know, film. I love cinema. I love like motion pictures. I love all these things. And I just want to see, I love the ambiguity of the, of images, right? Like I love the fact that you can look at a, like a great TV show or picture. And a lot of times, like it's an enigma, right? Like you have to kind of sort out how you feel about it before, like it's not necessarily about what is happening, it's about like what you think is happening. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you could have a different conversation with someone else and you could come away with two wildly different takes of like, yo, I read that as them being sad, and like, nah man, they're not sad, they're pissed. And you know, like who's to say who's right, you know? Tell me how you feel and bring out your arguments, and let's have an actual conversation about it, right? So here's the thing, this very much, I think this director agrees with me because there's no voiceovers, firstly, none. But he does insert a lot of pillow shots. We get a lot of cutaways to random objects, you know, just, and a lot of like really art, like really artfully composed frames. And the characters are very much enigmas. The whole show is like several mysteries wrapped up into one. And I felt really funny though, because initially I'm like, this is so unique. But the problem, and here's the perniciousness of just the isekai. Like, the more I'm watching, I'm like, is this an isekai? And I coming up with arguments of like, no, it's not, because of this reason. And then I by the end of the episode 6, I've come up with like, here's what I hate about isekais. And I have like a lengthy manifesto against them, basically, and why I think that Sunny Boy is not. But much too late, I'll bring up, here's the kind of basic premise. So these kids are going to school, and then out of the blue one day, their school is in this black void, completely like nothing. There's just their school, right? Mm-hmm. And that goes on. And all of a sudden, in this new place that they're in, some kids are developing superpowers, and they start to create like, okay, like we can't just go about waiting for things to go back to normal. So let's start to create like rules in terms of like, what are we going to do? Who's in charge? And it eventually they find themselves on this island, and they are like, but they still have their powers, and they're trying to find their way back to reality. And there's just, so that's like the basic kind of what's happening. But in terms of how they do it, it's really one of the, just like the most interesting shows that I've seen, because characters will come up with theories about the universe that they're in. They're like, huh, like maybe this is it. And they'll move forward with that. And then maybe an episode or two later, they find out that an assumption of theirs that they had just like not questioned. It's like, oh, that was wrong. Let's rethink everything. Okay. And then of course, weird shenanigans are going on with people's powers. And it turns out that this reality might be a lot more internal than people think. It might behave under wildly different laws, and people start to separate. And so there's an element of kind of Lord of the Flies of, okay, like things are kind of calm in the beginning, but now groups are separating because they want different things. Like maybe some people like their powers and they don't want to go back to being like a know-nothing Japanese kid who is kind of ignored by their peers. Maybe they like this. Oh, and maybe they like this attention they're getting. And some other people are, you know, taking a more passive route. And then the main group is still actively searching for a way back. And there's a lot of twists and turns, but it's all done. Just like it's done really smart. Like every episode there, you know, they might have like a side one about baseball, and that might be a whole episode. And, but yeah. So anyways, I'm just kind of in love with it. And of course I shared with you a little video. If you want, you can play that now.
I exited out of it, but there wasn't a whole lot of sound.
Oh, okay. Well,
it was like them, they're like running and then somebody falls down and they get caught.
Well, then I'll just describe, I guess, what I like out of this. So I have to give shout outs, within episode one, I think it's always smart when anime comes out of the gate with like, bam, here's some nice sakuga. You're welcome. You know, we really paid someone the good stuff, right? We're not giving you just some like generic, like, so episode one, at the very end, we get this really great piece of animation from the animator Gosai Oda, according to Sakuga Boru. It's in some ways reminiscent of images that we've seen in The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, where this character is running towards something, they jump. But in terms of the execution, I think what's really also unique about this show is how much empty space they leave in the frame. So again, this school is in this black kind of void. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny just like how alien these very traditional symbols. So like, again, the characters are still in school. They're still doing a lot of school stuff. And it has all that school imagery, but it is so divorced just by removing that kind of generic blue and like anime sky with clouds that we're so used to seeing, by placing it against this black empty frame. and just pointing out how much the background, which is not only something you think about, but how much of that makes the setting.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about the show when you sent me the clip originally. So, they're just in the void.
Yeah, they're just in this weird, crazy void. And the universe that they're in, it seems to be really indifferent to them. In some sense, this, I've complained about multiverse stuff too. And there is a multiverse kind of thing in this. But what is interesting about it is that it's, again, it's not human centric. Like, they might go to a universe and it's full of a black amoeba that's an endless pit that swallows people.
Jesus, that sounds like
an Elden Ring boss. Or they might transform into a purple universe that is just completely alien, and they just sit there and kind of are stare at it for a minute, and then they're like, all right, let's leave, because that's it. It's not like there's purple people in there. It's not like there's alternate versions of themselves. It's just nah, that's a weird purple universe.
So are they're able to jump back and forth between worlds on their own, or does this happen at random?
There's a character who has a power to find these other, they call them this worlds in the translation. I won't go into any more because there's a lot of secrets and surprises related to that. But so going back to the Gosai Oda scene, it's really wonderful. So the character is running they're on top of the school, and they end up running to one of the, to one end and jumping off. And they're jumping up against, this is very simple colors. This is not a gradient. There's not it's a pure black background, and the character is going through it, but they are able to create the effect of her moving through the air by having her slowly move in the frame. So she's very much towards the right side. And then she starts, she's reaching towards the edge. Right. And so you're wondering what's going to happen. Right. Cause there's no way to tell how long she's been falling. So you're worried, is she going to hit the ground? What's going to happen when she reaches the edge of frame? Is the thing that she's reaching for just beyond it? Mm-hmm. And it cuts right then. And we get this close up of her, and then bam, from the opposite side of the frame, she's caught. And it's this huge surprise visually of just oh shit. It's the last thing you expect. And then that character though, he had to grab this arm rail, and he's at an angle to catch her, and he does, and she's her weight then gets caught on the fulcrum of her arm. And firstly, just how it's so wonderfully authentic to just it's really great motion. It doesn't look it looks exactly like you would want it to. It's this crazy thing. And then out of nowhere, the guardrail that he's holding on to, normally I think in anime especially, or in animation in general, we're used to things being so solid, right? Yes. Like the background, or just objects, right? Like a chair. You don't get that outside of if it's a gag manga or anime where it's supposed to break and that's the joke. You kind of get the feeling everything's kind of immutable. Right. But here he's holding onto that guardrail and it lets go. And you just see this long shot of the two of them falling with the guardrail, and it stays on them. And until they fall for several seconds, and you just see them become smaller and smaller. And right where you're sure they're going to hit whatever would be the ground, there's a one frame, there's I guess it's technically a two frame dissolve. We get this wipe dissolve, and the first frame, the black turns into half black and blue, and the world is half black and blue. And then the next frame, it's gone, and it's just pure blue. But this isn't the sky, it's the ocean. And they land in the water. We see them then fall from a different camera angle. And then boom, they turn around and there's the island. And that's just the beginning of they're finally out of the void. Now they're at this island. And it's literally just the most perfectly paced first episode I've ever seen. And I've been so rewarded watching it. I plan on doing a review, writing it up for Gonzo.moi. So I hope people are excited for that. And I hope you check it out. Fish or Ink, rather. Ink, or I don't think Go Cuffy listens to this. But you guys, if you love Flowers of Evil, you should check this out.
What, this is piqued my interest. I've had this like queued up for a while, and I don't remember why. I think I just, somebody said, hey, you should watch Sunny Boy. And I just, I put things on my list and then forget about them. Yeah. But I was putting it off because I thought I heard somebody say, like, there's a lot of like techno babble and the dialogue can be hard to follow. Do you find that true? Or am I misremembering what somebody may have told me?
There are technical discussions, but it's, firstly, there's really good, like the characters will have a talk, but instead of it like going off into a separate screen, like you'll see a whiteboard with kind of drawings on it. So it's not so much that like, oh, we're going to go into like, here's an explainer for the audience. It's as much as like the characters are trying to figure out how this works. And I do feel that there is... So it's funny to mention this. So I think up until episode 5, I would have disagreed. In episode 6, however, so many things happen towards the end. And I'm not sure how many of them are like mysteries that will continue to be revealed, because so much happens in episode 6 that towards the end, I'm like, what just happened? Like, it was so crazy. I couldn't even tell you like half of what happened maybe at the end of that episode. I understood the main part, but then the other part, it seems very, but I do feel that the stuff I didn't understand is stuff that we will continue to learn about. Like, I think it's supposed to be like, whoa, that was a lot. Because all these factions start to, like, they're all trying to achieve their own end. And there's a moment in episode 6 where they all try to do that at once. And their stuff is kind of like bouncing off of each other. And it's unclear of like, okay, how much of this is intentional and how much of this is like going into whose plan? And maybe this was Group A's plan, but maybe this will also benefit Group C? But to me, like, it wasn't a turnoff. It was very much just like, this is wild. I need to watch more.
Well, I will have to check this out. I believe this is streaming on Crunchyroll right now. There are multiple languages for the dub, also Japanese with subtitles. But also the Blu-ray, I found out when we were prepping the show, comes out at the end of August. So August 30th.
Is it? Oh, it's Crunchyroll.
Yeah,
right?
It's Crunchyroll has the show. I know that because the series started airing before the merger went through. So I remembered it as a Funimation show, but it is Crunchyroll now. And we confirmed that by finding it on their app.
And if it gets bad after episode 6, don't blame me, people. I'm only reporting on what I've seen half. It's 12 episodes.
Well, I mean, the Wikipedia says it did get nominated for Best Anime at the Crunchyroll Anime Awards. I don't think it won it, but it got nominated.
It's maybe one of those few times where something that is truly good actually got recognized in some way.
You know what is truly good and needs to get recognized in some way? Harem in the Labyrinth of Another World.
Do you mean it?
No. This is a show that we've been kind of reporting on for a while, and I don't know why. I think it's just like, hey, the show has a blah, blah, blah date. Hey, it's airing on this day, because I didn't know anything about it until I watched it. And my God, if I did know anything about it, I probably would not have watched it. All I remembered was this like ridiculous poster of like just generic... like fantasy isekai characters standing next to each other, and the lady has comically large breasts. That's the only thing I knew about this show.
Oh, right. This is the weird, like, gacha woman one, right? Or is it the one where, right, or is it that one? Or is this the one where he's irresistible?
You know, it's funny that you mention that, because that could be so many shows. This is probably a gacha woman thing, because as I found out as I'm watching it, it's all about getting the hottest slaves. And so I watched this because like I woke up early enough and I needed to watch something for the show. And I tried to watch Bastard and it just wasn't keeping my attention. Doesn't mean that it's bad. I just kept getting distracted. So of course I needed to watch something that would make me hate myself. And so it opens up, as a lot of these do, our characters playing a video game. And he's like, this video game sucks. The blood is too unrealistic. I can't believe blah, blah, blah. And then it just immediately goes to the opening song, which I thought was really funny, because like they didn't contextualize it in any way. It's just like a sepia, like film grainy vignette of like, this video game sucks. All right, opening song. And like, all right, you have me sold, show, because you're being really ballsy with your opening. And then it, like, they don't make any, like, you don't know who this guy is or where he's from. It's, you know, it's kind of like Sonny Boy. They're showing, they're not telling.
God.
He, you know, it's got some great sakuga, probably. He wakes up in a barn and he just immediately is like, oh, I'm in a video game. Duh. And he finds out that he has the ability to use, like, his video game powers. You know how in, like, I don't know, Arkham Asylum, you can use, like, the bat scanner to be like, that's a door. That's a bad guy. Here's its
right, weakness. And, like, x-ray vision, that kind of stuff.
So he has the ability to do that. It's called Identify. And you may have seen this picture go around the internet. I didn't know it was from this show. But it's a picture of a green horse, and it just says horse. And that's from Harem in the Labyrinth of Another World, because he's identifying the horse. He's like, oh, yeah, I can use my power. I got to find some shoes. And he just like looks around scanning, like, shoes. Okay, perfect. Then he has to put them on, and he's bummed that he can't just like press the A button. He has to actually put the shoes on.
Man, this sounds like
it's incredible.
A big vibe.
I may keep watching this because of how fucking ridiculous it is. We'll see what my tolerance level is.
I have to put on my own shoes.
It's great. So he checks his stats, and as you tend to be in these games, he's level one. So he has to go out and grind. And he finds that somebody in front of the barn that he woke up in is being attacked by bandits. And, you know, it's a video game. Bandits are the bad guys. You have to kill the bandits to, you know, boost your level. And he uses his scan ability, and apparently the bandit is, like, level 41, but he has a really cool bandana that we want to steal, so he attacks him anyway while he's distracted, and because this is an anime and he's the main character, he's able to defeat all of the bandits regardless of the level discrepancy. Hilariously, he only levels up one level, so now he's level two, and I don't think he got the bandana. I don't know why. Maybe it was covered in blood.
Sure.
So this is where it gets a little fuzzy, because I was paying more attention to my guitar, but he starts hanging out with the guy that he saved, because it was like a villager being attacked by bandits. So he's hanging out with this guy, and I think they have one of the bandits, like, what do you call it? Like, they're going to turn him in. He didn't kill one of them, I think is what was going on. So they're going to turn him into the police, or whatever you would call it, the king in this world. And so he's talking to the guy that he saved, and he's like, you know, tell me, you know, a bit about what's going on here, and you know, how this universe works. It's like, well, you know, bandits, when you capture them, or when you commit a crime in this world, you have to become a slave. And that was the first indication that I may have been watching the wrong show. So it's like, yeah, when you commit a crime, you have to become a slave, and all the money that you make gets split halfway. Half of it goes to the king, and the other half goes to your family because they're losing out on a worker. Like, oh, cool. So that's all we are to our family is labor. Love it. I'm a big fan. And I guess you can also kill bandits if, like, there's no laws against killing bandits because they're bandits. Fuck them. You also find out that if you're a slave and you escape, that your title is changed to bandit. So this is a guy who is presumably already a slave, escaped, chose a life of crime, and now he's going to go back to being a slave. And they're going to get some money for turning him in. So they go visit, I don't know, the king or whatever, just some fucking guy. I wasn't paying attention. And this is about the time that our main character realizes, like, yeah, you're in a video game, but you actually killed those people. And so I have in my notes, oh shit, my actions have consequences. And so, you know, we're like 3/4 of the way through this show at this point, because they go turn in the guy, and that's how you find out about, like, the money split, and that this guy's going to be a slave, and all that. And, you know, our main character is going to become an adventurer and go on adventures. You know how all these shows go. It's always kind of the same, just paint by numbers, yeah. Isekai stuff. But the so I thought, like, did I click on the right show? I thought this was about titties. And like the opening theme song made it pretty, like, did you ever see Icon?
Icon
was from like the early 2000s, maybe the late 90s. And it was this show that, like, I think it was supposed to be a joke. It was just all of the characters in it had like massive breasts, like impossibly comically sized breasts. Like everybody from like the college age, you know, woman that's about to graduate to the 10-year-old girl. They all
just, oh yeah, I just looked it up.
They all just have enormous breasts. And it's supposed to be funny and not taken seriously, and the opening credits are ridiculous. That's what the opening sequence of this reminded me of. So then when we spend 15 or 20 minutes killing bandits and talking about slavery, I'm like, what is happening? What is this show? So they leave this guy after they turn. He must be like a slave keeper, which will become more apparent as I continue on. But they go to leave, and he's like, wait, wait, wait. You should stay, but just you. He says that to the main character. The villager guy, he fucks off and goes home. And he brings him in. And he's like, I just, you know, wanted to tell you some more about our world. And, you know, you're an adventurer now. And adventurers have slaves. And I noticed that you don't have any slaves. And our main, you'd think that our main guy would have, like, a moral conundrum about this. But he's like, oh, yeah, I don't have any slaves. What's up with that?
When in Rome.
Yeah. And so he proceeds to learn about, you know, what it's like to have a slave in this world. And the slave master guy is like, well, you know, so they have to do everything you say, and they can't disobey you. And if you die, they have to kill themselves. And if they escape, then they're automatically a bandit. And, you know, there's no law against killing bandits. You can do whatever the fuck you want. You can steal you can steal from bandits, and that's not a crime. Which, like, sort of fair, because, like, if we take out all of the miserable stuff about this show, if a thief, like, stealing from a thief is maybe morally okay, because they already stole that stuff. But it just feels weird when it's said in the context of slavery.
This is bizarre. Like, normally with isekai, I'm used to them being like, we'll go to a magical world.
Yeah.
But this is like, imagine a world with chattel slavery.
I'm going to bring my cell phone, though. So while this is all happening, they're being served tea by the first, I think, woman in the show that you see. And as promised by the opening, she has comically large breasts. Thank God. I thought I clicked on the wrong show. And then it gets kind of inscrutable because they start to bleep out every other word, and I don't know what they're talking about for like 3 minutes. Because he's like, did you know you can beep your beeps with your beep? It's like, it's great. And then they can beep, and, you know, sometimes you could even beep this. He's like, you can beep the beep? No fucking clue what they're talking about.
Is this an anime from 2001?
It's so... And this isn't just like, oh, SJW censored the fuck anime. Like, it's beeped in the Japanese. Like, you can hear the censor beeps. So, like...
This literally sounds like an old dub,
yeah,
from, like, the Ghost Stories days.
I think they're just being silly. Because, like, yeah, the starred out words on the screen didn't even make sense contextually. Because it always was just four stars. So at first I thought, like, are they saying you can, like, fuck kids? Is that what's going on? But then they just started beeping other words indiscriminately. So I don't know what... Meanwhile, they're showing you a bunch of, like, censored, like, TV-friendly shots of, like, BJs and doggy style and all this. So it's clear what they're talking about. It's just, like,
right,
the words aren't clear. And so our main character is, like, super on board. He's like, dope. Sign me up for a titty slave. Like, fucking hell. Except he can't afford one, so that's a bummer. Turns out to buy a fuck slave, you need 400,000, whatever the delineation of money is called in this world. And he's like, fuck, I don't have that. You know, I just woke up here. I don't have any money. And the guy's like, well, you know, I just spent 10 minutes selling you on the big titted maid option that I'm offering. So I'm actually going to give you a sale. We're going to do 10% off or whatever. And he's like, it's, I'm just going to make up a number. I don't know. It's 350,000 instead of 400. He's like, well, I still don't have that. I appreciate the offer, but I'm going to have to pass. Not that I'm not interested. I just can't afford it. And the guy is like, fuck, you know, that's really too bad. She really seems to like you. And meanwhile, her and like an older lady who also has large breasts, just so we're clear, they're standing outside of the room just like just waiting to be bought. And he's like, you know what? I spent so much time selling you on this. I'm going to give you 5 days to think about it. Come back with the money and we're going to be good. And so I don't know. I'm guessing the first arc is his him coming up with the money to buy this woman. It's crazy. I had no idea how outrageous this show is going to be.
Wow.
It's not as crazy as World's End Harem, which we've never talked about on this. I talked about it on the morning show back when I was doing that.
Okay.
But it certainly has the potential to be just as outrageous as World's End Harem. World's End Harem is about a pandemic that kills only men. 99% of men die from this pandemic, unless you have like a special like type of bone cancer, which right. makes you immune to the pandemic. And so it's up to our main character, who just happens to have this special disease, to fuck every woman on the planet and repopulate the earth.
Oh, nice.
And so that's what World's End Harem. But except he doesn't wanna. It's like Shinji getting the robot. It's like, guy, fuck the concubine.
So it's like, what? Are they like raping him then?
No. Well, sort of.
If you don't wanna.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to seduce him. The main, I didn't keep up with the show. The main guy, they never actually.
I wonder why.
They never like go through with it, but there's other characters that also have the special disease, and they're definitely having consensual sex with all these women. Great world to live in, you know, because you're one of like three guys on the planet. Every woman in the planet wants to bang you. Of course, this is only, I guess, good if you're into women.
This is the anime world where there's no lesbians.
Yeah, well, there are lesbians. There are lesbians in World's End Harem. They have an evil lesbian cabal where
evil,
they're...
Oh, so this is like what? Like, what is that? It's like M, the last man or something?
They want to assassinate the guys, and it was hinted that maybe they created the virus in the first place.
Lesbians, they're the real villain.
Did not watch beyond like episode 4, and I also don't know what cabal means, so I hope that's not racist.
No, you, that's not a racist
that's
word.
Just like an evil organization.
Yeah,
word,
yeah,
right?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, but yeah, this is giving me big World End Harem vibes. So big WEH vibe.
Except if it was similar, then the slaves would have to be the ones who are actually creating the slave system.
Yeah, well, I don't, you know, with these shows, sometimes they're only slave in name. That's why people are like, no, it's okay. She likes being a slave. It's like, well, why?
Yeah, that's what this Texas, you know, textbook says
Why don't you just not have her be a slave and you just have like a consensual sub-dom relationship? Like maybe that's a healthy way to explore this fantasy. We don't have to actually be slaves. Anyway, this show was a nightmare. But you know what wasn't? The Ganza.moe No Name anime show. That was a great episode. We talked about Sunny Boy. We talked about Harem in the Labyrinth of Another World. Yashahime is back. Wow. Thank you so much, Kyle. Sorry you didn't get to talk about your show last time, but I think it worked out well because you got, what, 20, 25 minutes?
Yeah.
This time.
I'm more than happy.
Yeah. So... yeah, this is the No Name Anime Show. If you want more episodes, you can find them on your favorite podcatcher. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts. I'm sure you could find us on other things. You can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handles are always in the show notes. You could leave us voicemails at 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. If you're going to be at Otakon, come say hi to me. Go to my panel. As of right now, it is... Friday, like at 11 in the AMV room. I don't know if that's going to change. Obviously, look in your guidebook on the day. But as of right now, I'm in the AMV room, and I believe it's like 11:30 on Friday.
Yes, yeah, so it's early. So if at all possible, try to get your badge and things on Thursday, or, you know, but
yeah, that's
going to
be
it.
Rough. Yeah, the guy emailed me. He's like, your room has a 700 person capacity. I was like, fuck. Okay, thanks. But
AP quickly looks at his, you know, his Rolodex and goes, do I know that many people who will be at Otakon?
Nope. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you, bye. Oof. Oh, sorry. I got a little distracted during that because I was getting some not weird texts, but I was getting some work texts that were kind of all over the place.
No worries. I thought it was good. I liked hearing about the harem show, which just sounds like a lot.
It kept my attention. That's definitely something that's can't be taken away from it.
So, is it visually anything interesting going on there outside of the?
It was
tits?
Good enough. It was. I would say what you would expect of an anime. Like the animation level wasn't, you know, standout or in either direction. You know, it was just average. It's like base level what you want from an anime, which does not sound like a glowing endorsement. But I'm glad it wasn't bad, I guess.
It's just funny when you were starting off of like the guy complaining on the online. I'm just waiting now for there to be a Reddit anime. It'll be like, my Reddit Secret Santa is a hot chick. You know, like that's what it sounds like. I'm just like, man, because, you know, we've seen a lot of like, you know, let's put it this way. When we complain that Japanese like male protagonists are milk toast, I don't know if this is the direction I necessarily wanted them to go into.
I've never put milk on toast, if I'm being honest with you, Kyle. I don't think it would be good. I want to share with you something. I'm going to leave this as a stinger. This is a tweet that I saw, and this is somebody made a political compass for incest anime, and it's very funny.
Okay.
So you have first the centrist incest. I can date my brother because we're not blood related. You have monarchist incest. I can date my brother because we are blood related. Communist incest. We are going to date our brother. Progressive incest. I'm going to date my sister. Libertarian incest. When you control the most powerful paramilitary organization in the world, incest laws become incest suggestions.
Oh my God.
Fascist incest. If you don't date one of your siblings, you will be executed for race mixing.
Damn.
Anprim incest. I don't know what that means. Animal.
Was it again?
Primitive anprim.
Okay.
My tribe will literally go extinct if we ever stop inbreeding. This next one is one of the funniest ones, the transhumanist incest. If you modify your genetic code to the point where you're no longer related, it stops being incest.
There you go, folks. Jurassic Park your way out of it.
Tech prim incest. In a virtual world, sibling relationships are meaningless. And then I believe we have two more. Apolitical incest. Politics are too much work. Just leave our compass blank. And then apocalyptic incest is maybe my second favorite. I'm going to destroy all life in every timeline, but not before weirdly flirting with my brother.
Yep.
And it's each one is complete with an anime character design, which I assume fits what they're saying.
Right. So are they actual anime characters or are they just
Their
own design?
I mean, many of them, some of them I recognize, some of them I don't. So like the fascist one, I think is the killer from Monster. And the Anprim one is a character from Dr. Stone. A lot of these I don't recognize. The apolitical one, I want to say is from No Game, No Life, but I'm not sure. But that was a very funny tweet that I saw yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of anime about incest. Who knew?
Oh, God. Yeah, there's not as much as there used to be. Like, we went through a boom period.
Oh, right. It was probably after what? Like, there was around the Sword Art Online time, there was a lot of incest stuff.
Oh, there was tons of it. And now it, like, either we've become desensitized to it or it just isn't happening as often.
Or it's happening in doujinshi.
Well, yeah, but that kind of doesn't.
That goes without saying.
I mean, that's all like, that's like saying this porn is very fetish driven. You know, like, I expect Doujinshi to get weird.
That's fair. I would, you know, yeah, we wouldn't want normal, you know, you gotta go, yeah. What are you doing if you're doing normal stuff?
There are normal doujinshi. I learned that from Comic Party, but there's also not normal doujinshi.
That's the stuff that we tend to get.
Yeah. Anyway, that is a podcast. That's a stinger. I am going to, I don't know, I think I need to clean my apartment. So thank you so much, Kyle. I will see you Sunday.
Yeah, and I'll see if Vinny's still down, because he wasn't next last week, but I think he's back.
Yeah, I assume that was because of the holiday.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's back too.
All right, well, talk to you later, Kyle. Thanks.
Later.